May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Today we are starting a new teaching series. And I don't know if you ever thought about this, but we actually approach our Sunday teaching in a variety of ways. Most often, we will choose a book or a person from the Bible, and week by week, we'll explore those passages or this life, and we will seek to learn about God and the people in the text and ourselves and the world that he loves. And we did this most recently in Philippians. We went through the book and asked God what we could learn from it. And during the year, we will always use this method to spend time with Jesus, to hear what he has to say, because first and foremost, we are followers of Jesus. Another way we do is to pick a theme and see what the Bible has to say about that, like we did with Paracletus. What does the Bible have to say about walking alongside? Or when we looked at our core values, what does the Bible have to say about being a missionary, an inclusive, a worshipping, a prophetic, a sacrificial community? And sometimes we will use as a springboard a book that we've read that we've gone, wow, that was good, we need to share this, how does the Bible associate with that? So we did that with Questions Jesus Asked by Conrad Genf, and James did on a Sunday evening, Who is This Man? By John Ortberg. This series is another distinct way of teaching, and one we've used less often, and that is to explore a doctrine of faith. Now don't go to sleep on me. A doctrine is an understanding, it's a belief, it's a conviction, it's a body of thought about one subject. And not only does it explore what we believe, but why we believe it. And for this season, we believe it's really important to spend time exploring the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. This is because some people have funny ideas about the Spirit. Some of us have very little idea about the Spirit. Some of us have very fixed ideas about the Spirit. And some of us long to experience the Holy Spirit. And some of us, well, we can be take it or leave it. So why do we think it's important to spend a few weeks concentrating on the Holy Spirit? Well, two really. Firstly, not many of us have a good grasp of who and what the Holy Spirit is. He is largely the neglected member of the Trinity. As Dorothy Sayers, a 20th century writer, said, there are those who would worship the Father, the Son, and the Virgin Mary. There are those who believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Scriptures. There are those who found their faith in the Father, the Son, and the Church. And there are those who would seem to derive their spiritual power from the Father, the Son, and the minister. And that is not a good place to be. So we thought we'd try and rectify this. Second reason we want to look at this in depth is that we have stated openly that we wish to be more open to the presence and work of the Holy Spirit. We want to experience him in our lives and in our corporate worship. And to this end, we have made space twice in our month in Refresh to give time to this, to enable to grow in this. And it's our hope as we grow in openness and experience and knowledge of the use of the gifts of the Spirit, that will become a normal and natural part of our corporate worship and our daily lives. However, there's a danger in reducing the Holy Spirit to an experience, a feeling, a power that we can use. So we thought it was important to ensure that alongside giving time and space to being open to experiencing the Holy Spirit, we explored the breadth of who he is within the Trinity, within creation, in his ongoing work in the world and the church. Not only to love him in our hearts and our mind, in our souls, but to know him and love him with our minds as well. To know and understand the Holy Spirit as well as experience him. To have a chance to re-examine what we have thought and learned to date. Maybe let go of false and unhelpful ideas about him along the way. Jesus tells us one of the jobs he has is to lead us into truth. And I hope that is what this series will be about. Today I'll be painting the big picture and erasing around scripture, so that's why you haven't had a reading. But I hope you'll hang on in there and stay with me. And in the following weeks we will drill down more in detail and together explore the wonderful, recreating, transforming person that the Holy Spirit is. The impact that he can have on us day by day in the church, in our community, and in the world he helped create and still sustains. I hope that this won't just be interesting, but transforming. So, down to basics. Who is the Holy Spirit? First and foremost, he is truly and fully God. The early church fathers spent ages trying to sort out who and what the Holy Spirit is. They worked very hard at their doctrine. And after years of study and debate, of seeking after truth, in 325, they came up with an understanding that was written down as part of the Nicene Creed. This is a pattern of words that has withstood scrutiny. It has withstood the test of time. It's a long time since 325. And these words are still repeated week by week in churches across the world and across denominations. They say, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets." This is the truth the church declares about the Holy Spirit. He shares with the Father and the Son the fullness of deity. He is God. He is not an inferior deity, and nor is he inferior part of the one true deity. He is fully and truly God as the Spirit of the Father and the Son within the Trinity. And as such, he is worthy to be glorified and worshipped. The God we believe in is never just God. He is always expressed as Father, Son, and Spirit. It was interesting, the regional minister who's just stood down from being team leader, Grenville Overton, if you ever heard him pray, he would always pray Father, Son, and Spirit. And that's something we may need to reclaim and understand as we embrace this most neglected part of the Trinity. So what role does the Spirit have within the Trinity? Well, the Holy Spirit is the source of community, the means of unity. He is the dynamic love glue, was the only way I could think of describing it, the bond of love between Father and Son. He was the means by which the Jesus we knew as a man was able to know what the Father was doing. It was the Spirit that enabled that communication to happen. And he was the means by which the Son made the Father's love known. He's that dynamic communication of love. And he enables the Father and Son to be in perfect harmony. So within the Trinity, he's the love glue. He's also the source of community and the means of unity and the dynamic love glue between God and us. He connects each one of us to Jesus and through him to the Father. Ephesians, through Christ we have access to the Father by the one Spirit. We can't separate them. They're always in it together. And in the same way, in the community of the Fatherhead, the Godhead, with God and us as individuals, so the Spirit is the means, the source, the bond of love within the community of God, between us as a church. And that's a precious thing that we must hold on. As Paul tells us, the unity, we must make every effort to keep the unity through the bond of peace. So the Spirit is the means and the source and the bond of love between the community of God, between God and us as individuals, and us as a community. Really important role. Another role of the Holy Spirit is to be God, present now and here. The Father is regarded as the eternal source of the Son and the Spirit. He is the fountain and origin of deity. He is a God above and beyond us. beyond our comprehension, eternally holy and almighty. The Son is said to be eternally begotten. He was with God in the beginning, and in the person of Jesus was God with us and among us as a man in history, showing us most fully what God is like in a way we could understand. He had arms and legs. He spoke. This was God as we could understand. God with us. Demonstrated the unlimited love of Father, Son, and Spirit for us in his self-giving sacrifice. And the Holy Spirit is God coming out from the Father and Son from the time of Jesus' resurrection to now. So if you want to know that the experience you have of God now, that is the Spirit. The Spirit is God in us and among us. Jesus says, you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. He said that just before he died. We live after he died, so we now can say, you know him, for he lives with you and is in you. Think about it. God in the person of the Holy Spirit is both in me and with me. God by the Holy Spirit is God with you and in you. The same God who formed the earth and brought life into being is beside us and in us. The same God who in the person of Jesus lived the perfect life, full of grace and truth, is beside us and in us. The same God who has conquered death and lives forevermore in the heavenly realms with all authority and power is beside us and in us. That should blow us away. That should be a hallelujah moment, shouldn't it? Hallelujah. If we learn nothing else about the Holy Spirit at any other time, surely this will revolutionize who we are, give us a cause for praise, and help us face our day. God in and with us. A difficult meeting to face, scary, but remember, I'm not alone. I have the all-powerful and all-knowing and all-loving God beside me and in me. I need not be afraid. That's better than spinach, isn't it? Feeling bad about who you are, how others may see you, read on. You yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you. You are epic. You are a church. You are a vessel. You are a chosen character for the one who puts stars into space. Hold your head up. You have God in you. And obviously, as we've just learned, it won't be just the Spirit. It's a big community thing going on in here. If you've got what, because God is one, God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit are all having a time with you. They make their home in us. As it says in John, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make their home with them. So we know God by his Spirit, but we get the whole Godhead because they cannot be separated. Now that seems far too good to be true. So how can we be sure that the ever-present with us Spirit is really God? Well, there are many instances in the Bible where references to the Holy Spirit and God are swapped for one another. They are interchangeable. For example, in the very painful story of Ananias and Sapphira, Peter says, "You have lied to the Holy Spirit." And in the next breath, "You've lied not to humans, but to God." Interchangeable. And again, in that lovely verse we've just seen, "Don't you know you are God's temple, that God's Spirit lives in you?" God's Spirit is God. Further evidence that the Spirit is one and the same as God is he has the same qualities as God. When the angel tells Mary she's going to become pregnant, he says, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." The Spirit comes with the same power as God. The Spirit demonstrates the same knowledge as God. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit has the same knowledge as God. The Spirit is also eternal like God. It is through the eternal Spirit that Jesus offered himself unblemished to God, it says in Hebrews. So he can be swapped, he has the same qualities, and he also does things that are understood to be the work of God. He was there at creation with God. He raised Christ from the dead. And he is a work of inspiration. So the Spirit is how we experience and know God here and now. He's as much God as the Father and the Son. How else can we know him? What does he look like? For many of us, Jesus is really much easier to grasp because he was a man. So we know what a human being looks like. He had a body, and he still has a body, albeit a resurrection body. So we can relate to Jesus quite well. We know of his life. That's fine. And it's really tempting to think of the Spirit as a force or a power. In the same way, it may the force be with you. A lot of the times when you look at the Star Wars films, you can think, well, that's a bit like the Holy Spirit. But especially if we just said he is the dynamic bond of love within the Trinity, it's very hard to not think of him in that way. How do you think of God the Father? We call him the Source, the Almighty, the Father, but he doesn't inhabit a body. He's so holy, so other, so beyond. He's always known through the mediator of the Son and the Spirit, an angel or angel of the Lord. We can't get our heads around Father. That's why he made himself known through his Son and now through his Spirit. In William Young's book, The Shack, coming to a cinema near you on the 9th of June, if you read the book, it's coming out on film. Young portrays the Spirit in the form of a woman, Sarayu, which means wind in a native language. Now, this is a work of fiction, and he's knowingly using metaphor, but I found it a really helpful way of understanding the Spirit in the way that he betrays this character that comes and goes and is with. And there is a biblical precedence for calling the Spirit she, because when talked about in scriptures, it's often as wisdom, and wisdom is always spoken of as she. Really confusing, isn't it? Well, what can we be sure of? Throughout the Bible, the Spirit is referred to by using personal descriptions. He isn't as person as we understand the human being, as we understand Jesus, but he does have personal qualities. The Spirit is never an it. Jesus says, "For when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth." So like a person, he knows things. We've already said that. He makes decisions. He can be lied to. He can be grieved. He can be resisted. The Spirit is known as counselor, one who will teach, one who will convict, all things that a person does. So the Spirit is personal. He is person. So however we think of the Spirit, it should never be as a force or a power or a thing. He should be spoken of with honor. He is truly and fully God, a being with personal qualities who is the chosen means of God making himself known to us. Jesus makes it very clear that we should be respectful of the work of the Holy Spirit. To speak against the work of the Spirit or to say that's of the devil or that's of something else is blasphemy. Jesus says anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man himself will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. We are to honor and respect the Holy Spirit. So to finish, we'll draw something of what we've learned together by looking at a final piece of evidence that the Holy Spirit is fully and truly God, using something Jesus said just before he was ascended, and something we ourselves used on Easter Day as we baptized Kelly and Ethan and Vicky. The Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This very well-known verse shows the unity of Father, Son, and Spirit. They are one name. It again underlines the three-part nature of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It demonstrates their equal nature. All three are mentioned, none are left out. It also underlines the order in which they are known and revealed. In my books, it keeps talking about the economy of God, but I didn't want to go there with you. But what it means is that the Father was revealed first. We knew him first. The Son was revealed second, and the Spirit comes out both of the Father and the Son. He is the eternal dynamic community-making bond, but we've got to know them in that order. So that's why they are usually talked about, that one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So as we wrap up, you've done really well. What difference will this knowledge, this doctrine of the Holy Spirit, make for us this week, for tomorrow morning? It's my hope that you will be blown away and encouraged by the truth that out of his great love for his people, for those he has created, God has found a way to make himself known to us. He has chosen to come alongside us, to be beside us, to live within us by the Holy Spirit. That is how God is known. And that through the presence of the Holy Spirit alongside us, within us, we can know for certain we are never alone. We have God with us. We have access to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That we have the wisdom and the teaching and the truth of God himself at our disposal. The Spirit will guide you into truth. We have the wonderful counselor closer than our breath to listen to. Wow. Don't know what to do? Spirit, help me here. Lead me into truth. And we have the community-making Spirit who enables the Godhead to be one. And if you can do that, showing us, enabling us to live in community, in our marriages, in our families, in our street, in our church. We have the capacity at our disposal to be so loving, so interdependent. He is beside us and with us. Hopefully this wonderful truth will encourage us and shape us in the week ahead. What a wonderful God we have a privilege to love, worship, and follow. Let's pray.